In Louisiana, Ile de Jean Charles is disappearing. High tides, hurricanes, and a rising Gulf of Mexico have caused 98% of the island to vanish over the last 60 years. At one point, more than 300 people lived there. Now, only 40 or so remain, including Chris Brunet.
Whenever somebody comes from out of town, out of state, or across the world or whatever, and they come to Ile Jean Charles, they would say, there's not too much here. I mean, what's moving here? What's so interesting about the place? Well, that's just it. It's its simplicity. And unless you come from over here, well, then you can't appreciate it.
Chris Brunet is featured in the new documentary, Lowland Kids. It follows him and his family as they grapple with a harrowing choice. Move off the island they've called home for generations, or watch the rising waters close in around them. Joining us from WWNO in New Orleans is Ile de Jean Charles resident Juliette Brunet. She's 16 years old. Hey, Juliette, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank y'all for having me.
Also with us from NPR in New York is the director of Lowland Kids, Sandra Winther. Sandra, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Now, the film is available to stream online. We tweeted out the link. It's also on our website, the1a.org. We'd also love to hear from you, your questions or thoughts about being essentially climate refugees. Comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or email 1A@wamu.org. Hey, Juliette, could I start with you with just a real basic question? Can you describe your home for us? If we took a trip there together, what are some of the things that you think I would notice?
How beautiful it is. Just all there is to do down there. And you'd obviously see the land, that there's barely any there.
Describe barely any. Like, what's it look like?
Well, whenever you, like, ride in, it's one road, and there's water on both sides of the road. And whenever you get down, there's very little land, but it's ours, so it's beautiful.
What do you like about living there?
It's peaceful. It's beautiful, and it's ours. You can, you know, go fishing in your backyard. You don't have to worry about going anywhere. Yeah, it's just beautiful.
What's an average day like for you, Juliette? What do you do there?
Fish, hunt. It's just, like, free, I guess you could say. You know, like, it's ours. It's free.
Are you in school right now?
Yes, sir.
And how has your home life, school life, free time changed over the last few years? I imagine it's changed quite a bit.
Actually, it's just the same. It's just hard being, you know, where I'm from isn't, like, it's slowly washing away, or fastly washing away.
And when we say washing away, I just want to make sure people understand exactly what you're talking about. What does that look like? Can you give me an example, Juliette, of a place where this washing away has been really noticeable, or it's had a big impact?
You mean like where I'm from?
Mm-hmm.
When my uncle Chris Brunet was younger, they had land on both sides of the road, and now, like in my time, there's no land there. It's just a road.
Are there places where you used to hang out that are gone?
Well, it's not gone, but it's that front bayou in front of my house. We used to be able to fish in there, and now it's more of like a drainage ditch than anything.
So it kind of looks like a strip of land and buildings that was like built in the middle of the Gulf of Mexico. Like if you looked at it, it just kind of looks like a street in the middle of a body of water. Is that it?
Yeah. Yep. That's a great example.
Sandra Winther, let me come to you. Clearly, the story of Ile de Jean Charles is fascinating. What struck you as this being a story that you wanted to tell?
I think first and foremost, when I read about Ile de Jean Charles or the state of Louisiana receiving a $48 million grant to relocate the community of Ile de Jean Charles, I mean, that was the first sort of federal acknowledgement of U.S. climate refugees. And so I thought this is an important story to tell. And there had been, you know, we were reading the news, the one of the producers, William Krause, and definitely thought it was really interesting. But what we could find about the island, the films and other articles that had been written up, I felt they weren't really doing the place justice. You know, once we set foot in the place and discovered how beautiful it was, I felt it was really important to try and capture that. And meeting the Brunet family was just such a special experience. We went down there to the island just with an open mind, just really curious about what life was like down there, and went down and knocked on a lot of doors and met a lot of amazing families. But it was really when I went to the Brunet's house and I met Chris and I met Juliet and her brother Howard that I felt like there's something really special here. This family should not be going through this. This home should not be taken away from them. They've already lost a lot, and they're so attached to this land. And so I felt if we could tell that story and evoke the feeling that we all, you know, as a film crew had when we set foot there, if we could translate that to the screen, I felt there was a way that we could make a different kind of climate change documentary that hopefully could reach some more people.
Let me play a quick clip from that documentary in which Juliet's uncle Chris talks about that label, that term we've been using that's been assigned to residents of this island.
For us to be labeled as climate change refugees in a way that's kind of harsh because of the definition of what a refugee is to me myself and what's going on around the world with other people. But I haven't been able to put another word in this place yet.
Sandra, what do we mean by climate change refugees? We know people who've been displaced by weather across the country, particularly like Hurricane Katrina, for example, or a major earthquake. But what do we mean by a climate refugee?
In this case, it really refers to the land that the community of Ville de Saint-Charles live on. Like you said, it's lost about 90 to 96% of its landmass over the past 60 years. And so this is due to coastal erosion, it's rising sea levels, it's hurricanes just tearing at the island. It's also due to the oil and gas industries creating these canals, which has created more avenues for the water to come in, which then when the sea level has risen so much and there is flooding, I mean, you have to leave the island, really. Even when Barry hit earlier this year, Juliet and her family, they had to leave the island, I think, for about a month. And so there's this one road that connects from the mainland to the island. And like Juliet was saying, there's now water on both sides. And the state has said, we're not spending any more money repairing this road. And it's climate change that has made it so that this road is just completely flooded at all times and has caused all of this land loss. And so, a new site has been built by the, or has been bought by the state, which happened January of last year, where they're simply trying to relocate the entire community and sort of saying, hey, we're going to build you a community. We're going to try and create something that's similar to what you have on the island. But how is that really possible? I don't really think that it fully is. But the people on the island don't really have a choice. I mean, if they choose to stay there, I mean, it's just, one, not safe, and two, there just isn't really a future there. And so I think that's where the label comes from.
Let me play another clip from Lowland Kids where Juliet and her brother visit that land where Louisiana plans to relocate the people on the island.
I think it'll be close, fairly close.
They're going to have to be close because they can't fit as many houses as they're saying.
How many houses they saying they can fit right here?
Like 180, 200 homes.
It's just land and roads, you know. No, I don't think it's going to be like the island. I don't think it's going to be even close to the island.
Another clip from the documentary Lowland Kids. Hey, Juliet, how do you feel about moving to this land that the state has reserved? Has your family decided if it's going to move?
No, we haven't decided yet, but we haven't decided yet. We don't know what we want to do because we love the island.
It kind of sounds like eventually, Juliet, everyone's gonna have to leave the island, I think. So is it just kind of a matter of time?
Even if we were to consider leaving, it's not that we want to leave the island. It'd be about climate change and us knowing that we're not gonna have a home in so many years due to climate change.
What would it mean for you, Juliet, to move off of this island? Your family, as I understand it, has lived there for centuries. Eventually, you...
Yes, seven.
Right. Well, either you will not be able to return. None of them will be able to go back. What would that mean to you?
It would definitely hurt, just being I grew up there my whole life.
What would hurt about it the most? Is there anything in particular you would miss the most?
The scenery, how beautiful it is.
Describe the scenery to me.
Beautiful sunsets, beautiful temperatures too. It's open, it's just beautiful sunsets all day, every day.
I'm Joshua Johnson. You're listening to 1A. Oh, Juliet, that term, climate change refugee. What do you think of that term? Do you think that applies to you?
I'm not sure, to be honest. We never found another word to replace that one, so I don't know.
Now, Sandra, the film doesn't talk a lot about climate change or the details of the relocation project. It's kind of more of a focus on the Brunet family, as you said. Why did you choose to focus on this family rather than on like a larger educational look at climate change in this area?
Because I think there's something very relatable that they're going through, actually. I think even if you live in an area where you aren't seeing these effects, you can watch this film and watch what this family is going to, and I think relate to it some way. I think it's a universal story about a family going through a lot of change and sort of empowering each other to get through that. And I don't think we always really get to see the families that are being affected by climate change. I love seeing, the huge movement that's happening right now of climate activists being out in the streets and sort of demanding change and action. And that's incredible. And I think what our film tries to do is sort of say, hey, this is who those people are fighting for. This is why we need systemic change. This is why something dramatic needs to happen, because this is happening on U.S. soil. And so for me, I felt like if we could tell the story in this more sort of human, intimate, emotional way and just make it about this one family, we hopefully would be able to reach some people that we wouldn't otherwise.
Well, and on top of that, most of the island's residents, Sandra, are of Native American descent. So I imagine it's had like a dual impact, not just on the place, but on the culture and the rituals that exist there.
Definitely. You can still feel it. I mean, even when you hear Juliet talk about what she loves to do, that's not all teenage kids that, wake up in the morning and all they want to do is just be outside and go hunting and fishing and, play in their backyard. I think they have a very unique and special attachment to the land, which has been passed down from their ancestors. And you feel that when you're on the island. And I think that's why it's all the more devastating that it's being taken away. I mean, they settled there as a Native American tribe years ago, and now the land is vanishing below their feet. And how do you sort of keep the tribe together, and how do you prevent the culture from being sort of erased even more when you're moving the community inland to a piece of land that's next to a highway and a Chevron building? I think that's going to be a little bit tough. I think that's what everyone wants.
Before I let you go, Juliet, is there anything in particular that you hope that people take away from this film that they learn or that they feel or that they think about as a result of knowing your story? What do you want people to take away from this story?
Probably just that climate change is real, and it's not just us. It's happening all around the world, and it needs to be taken seriously.
And if you do have to move to the mainland, have you thought about what you want your new life to be like?
No. Honestly, no, I haven't. I don't want to either.
No?
No, sir.
You said one thing, you just hope that your room has insulation.
Yeah. Yep. That's all.
Insulation?
Like, you know how, like, a room, like a house has, like, an outside wall insulation than an inside wall?
Mm-hmm.
I want the inside wall and insulation.
You know, I think that's something that people take for granted, but I do not blame you. I would want an inside wall too, Juliet. I appreciate you saying that. Juliet Brunet is 16 years old. She lives on Île de Jean-Charles. Juliet, I know this is a hard story to have to tell. I really, really appreciate you making time to talk to us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Sandra Winther is the director of the documentary Lowland Kids. You can find a link to watch at the1a.org. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you so much for having me.
The Conversation was produced by Michelle Harvin and Avery Kleinman. To learn more about them and the team, visit the1a.org. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Joshua Johnson. Thanks for listening. This is 1A.